Selfish hopes unfulfilled. Jesus had done the very work prophecy had foretold the Messiah would do, but the people had not witnessed what their selfish hopes had pictured as his work. In the days of Moses, Israel had been fed with manna 40 years, and far greater blessings were expected from the Messiah. Why could Jesus not give health, strength, and riches to all his people, free them from their oppressors, and exalt them to power and honor? He claimed to be the sent of God, yet refused to be Israel's king. This was a mystery they could not fathom. Did he dare not assert his claims because he himself doubted the divine character of his mission? Half mockingly, a rabbi questioned, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see, and believe thee? What dost thou work?" "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then said Jesus unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. The giver of the manna was standing among them. Christ himself had led the Hebrews and had daily fed them with the bread from heaven. That food was a type of the real bread from heaven. The life-giving Spirit is the true manna. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven, and gives life to the world." RSV. Still thinking it was temporal food, some exclaimed, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." Jesus then spoke plainly, "I am the bread of life." Moses had said, "Man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord." And Jeremiah had written, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." The teaching of the prophets made plain the spiritual lesson in the miracle of the loaves. Had Christ's hearers in the synagogue understood the scriptures, they would have understood his words, "I am the bread of life." As the multitude had received physical strength from the bread he had given them the day before, so from Christ they might receive spiritual strength unto eternal life. "He that cometh to me," he said, "shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." But he added, "Ye also have seen me, and believe not." They had seen Christ by the witness of the Holy Spirit, by the revelation of God to their souls. The living evidences of his power had been before them day after day, yet they asked for still another sign. If they were not convinced by what they had seen and heard, it was useless to show them more marvelous works. Unbelief will ever find excuse for doubt, and will reason away the most positive proof. Again Christ appealed to those stubborn hearts, "Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." All who received him in faith, he said, should have eternal life. No longer need men mourn in hopeless grief over their dead. "This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, and believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." But the leaders were offended. "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven?" Referring scornfully to the lowly origin of Jesus, they contemptuously alluded to his family as being poor and lowly. The claims of this uneducated carpenter, they said, were unworthy of their attention. On account of his mysterious birth, they insinuated that he was of doubtful parentage. Jesus did not attempt to explain the mystery of his birth, as he had made no answer to the questions concerning his crossing the sea. Voluntarily he had made himself of no reputation and taken the form of a servant. But his words and works revealed his character. The prejudice of the Pharisees had its root in the perversity of their hearts. Every word and act of Jesus aroused antagonism in them, for the spirit they cherished could find in him no answering chord. "No one can come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard, and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me." None will ever come to Christ, save those who respond to the drawing of the Father's love. But God is drawing all hearts unto him, and only those who resist his drawing will refuse to come to Christ. Those who had learned of God had been listening to his Son, and in Jesus of Nazareth they would recognize him who had declared the Father.